Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We've got such a full show for you today. Let's get right into our coverage of the FIFA Women's World Cup going on in France. Now, we mentioned on Wednesday's show that Nigeria had just defeated South Korea to even its record at one win and one loss for the tournament, ahead of an important Group A match on June 17th. We're joined now by our friend Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, who has this match report from France. Now, we apologize for the French translation going on in the background of the press conference, but that's what happens at major international events in France. Welcome to the show, Kwabena.
The Super Falcons of Nigeria defeated South Korea in their second Group A game played at the Stade des Alpes in Grenoble. 3 hours to the game, Nigerian supporters had mounted their camps around the stadium, entertaining soccer fans with drumming and dancing, cheering the Falcons to victory. Super Falcons, without a point in their group, put pressure on the Koreans from the start, and that resulted in their goal in the 29th minute when the pressure was unbearable for the Koreans. Although the Koreans, tactically better than the Nigerians, got an equalizer in the 58th minute but was ruled offside. The Asians then adopted an all-out attacking which could not help, but the Super Falcons, very strong and faster, had advantage over the Koreans, and in the 74th minute, striker and captain Asisa Oshola scored the second goal of the Falcons to seal their victory and claim the needed 3 points. In a post-match press conference, the Super Falcons keeper and striker Asisa Oshola and her thoughts about the game.
For me, I always say I'm never under pressure. I just go on the pitch, I do my job, I follow the game plan with the team, it's an 11 players game, it's not a lone sport, so it's not all about me, it's about the team. If I start putting myself under pressure and then I start tampering with the responsibility of all the players, so no pressure, just go on the pitch, enjoy the game and have fun, and do the right thing.
That was Captain Oshola of the Super Falcons. For VOA Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Grenoble, France.
Thank you, Kwabena. That was Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori with the report from France. Now, as we mentioned on Wednesday, along with Nigeria's win over South Korea, there were two other matches. Germany defeated Spain 1-0, and France defeated Norway 2-1. As we speak, Brazil is playing Australia, and in just a couple hours, South Africa will take on China. South Africa lost its opening match 3-1 on June 8th. Speaking of South Africa, our colleague Steve Miller, who will be here in the big chair for the next couple days, has this report on Caster Semenya's recent athletic performance in France. Sporty greetings, Steve.
Sporty greetings, Dan. The double Olympic champion has appealed a court of arbitration for sport decision that supported the IAAF's rule that XY chromosome athletes with differences in sexual development, like Semenya, can only race in distances from 400 meters to a mile if they take medication to lower their testosterone levels.
I can run any events I want.
Semenya added,
it can be 100 meters, it can be 200, it can be long jump, it can be heptathlon, you name it, you know. I'm a talented athlete, so I'm not worried about anything else. Even if I I have to withdraw from 800 meters. It don't matter no more. I think I've won anything I've ever wanted.
Semenya was also adamant she'd be defending her 800-meter title at the World Championships come September. She appealed to the Swiss Federal Tribunal, who ruled last week that she can run in her favorite 800-meter event without taking medication until her appeal has been ruled on.
I'm not an idiot. Why would I take drugs for? I'm a pure athlete. I don't cheat. They should focus on doping than us. So I'm never going to take that.
Semenya was named in South Africa's preliminary squad for the World Championships in Doha, though this is dependent on the outcome of her appeal to the SFT.
I think I've made it clear after Doha that whatever happens, I make my own decision. So I'm not going to change because of any man. So my plan was this month I'm going over distance, so which is 2 kilometers and 3 kilometers. So that's a plan.
Semenya has so far not entered races in distances covered by the IAAF rules, having won the 5,000 meters national title this year. Her next race is expected to be the 3,000 meters of the Prefontaine Classic in Stanford, California, June 30th. Burundi's Francine Niyonsaba, another XY chromosome athlete with differences in sexual development, was fifth in the 2,000-meter race earlier this week. She said after the race that she would also not take testosterone-suppressant medication, calling it discriminatory. That's all for me, Dan. Back to you.
Thanks, Steve, and good luck in the big chair here the next few shows. Now, we mentioned on Wednesday's show that the world's top golfers are gathering in Northern California for this weekend's U.S. Open. Joining us now on the sunny side of sports is Voice of America intern Ryan Handel, who has this report on which players you should keep an eye on at the tournament. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Dan. As we speak, the 119th U.S. Open is getting underway. Within 4 days, we'll find out if world number one golfer and two-time defending champ Brooks Koepka can earn another title. Koepka recently dominated the field at the PGA Championship and will look to do the same this weekend. Koepka appears to be the favorite, but several other players will be swinging for the win as well. Dustin Johnson, the second-ranked golfer in the world, has finished as the runner-up in two straight majors, so he'll be looking for redemption. The always dangerous Northern Irishman Rory McIlroy joins Koepka and Johnson in a three-way tie for top betting odds to win the tournament. McIlroy is coming off a 7-stroke victory at last week's RBC Canadian Open in Ontario.
Obviously it's a nice little confidence boost coming into this tournament. I feel like my game's been in really good shape all year, and it was nice to validate the good work that I've been putting in with another win.
That's Rory McIlroy, one of the favorites for this weekend's U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. During yesterday's show, we heard from the resurgent Tiger Woods, who can't be counted out either. Pebble Beach hosts the tournament for the sixth time. This makes PGA Tour veterans Phil Mickelson and Jason Day solid dark horses for the championship. A dark horse is a contender who is not as heavily favored for the event, but could still pull off a surprise victory. The pair have performed well at Pebble Beach in recent years. Both Day and Mickelson finished in the top five at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in their last two appearances there, with Mickelson winning the 2019 title in February. However, U.S. Open organizers have made the course more challenging than it was in February for this major. It will be a whopping 7,075 yards with a par of just 71. The multitude of contenders and the difficulty of this year's course should make for an especially entertaining tournament this weekend.
Thank you, Ryan. I'll be excited to keep an eye on the tournament as it progresses on Saturday and Sunday. Now, let's move on to the big news here in North America. While it's not quite as big a deal as the NBA Finals, we have to mention Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in the National Hockey League. The Boston Bruins hosted the St. Louis Blues Wednesday. Here's St. Louis's Ryan O'Reilly of the victorious Blues trying to put into words what it's like to have won the league's championship.
You dream this for so long, and as a kid, I just like that feeling comes back to you of just like what it means to win this thing, and I still can't believe this. This is, I can't believe I'm here right now and a Stanley Cup champion with this group of guys.
That's Ryan O'Reilly of the St. Louis Blues, with a 4-1 victory on Wednesday night, won the first NHL title in franchise history in Boston. We're joined now by Ari Yolcutt, a television producer in New York City and a lifelong St. Louis sports fan. Ari has been talking with us on the Sunny Side of Sports over the last few weeks about the St. Louis Blues run to the final series of the Stanley Cup playoffs in the National Hockey League. And the culmination, the decisive Game 7, was Wednesday night in Boston. Ari, tell our listeners what happened.
I'm still not sure that I'm going to wake up and this whole thing will be a dream. So I feel like I'm just telling you the story of my dream from last night. They in Game 7 of the championship, they pretty soundly and confidently, without much drama, beat the Boston Bruins 4-1 to win their first ever NHL championship.
I turned on the game last night. A little bit into the second period, I saw the score was 2-0 in favor of the Blues. What was it like for you and your friends watching the game to kind of see the lead get to 2-0 late in the first period? One of these things that people talk about in ice hockey is that, like, a 2-goal lead is the worst lead to have in hockey. Tell us how anxious you were as the clock started ticking down and the game got to the 30-minute point, and you're thinking, okay, we just got to keep holding on, keep holding on. What was that atmosphere like?
Well, I think it actually started that – I should explain that the whole thing started, like, the day of. I'm going to take you back to the day of when we were – when I was kind of preparing myself for the game. Like, in the first six games of the series, on the day of the games, I had been very excited. I had been very pumped up and looking forward to the game that evening. So yesterday, the whole day, I was like, had this weird, not like I wasn't resigned to a loss, but it was just like this very calm, like, you know, whatever happens, happens. I wasn't confident because it is Game 7 and anything can happen. The game was in Boston. So I was just like, I almost like just wanted to get it over with because I had been through so much disappointment in the years past that I was sort of preparing myself for the disappointment and reminding myself that, you know, don't be too bummed, don't be too sad, because they made it to the last game of the NHL season, of the hockey season, Game 7 of the finals, and it was a win either way. So I had kind of been preparing myself all day. And then when the game came, and we were all there, and I, like, was telling everybody we have to stay positive. I didn't want any negativity while we were watching to ruin it, because it was really, literally, for the Blues, a once-in-a-lifetime game, because in my life, they had never been to the Stanley Cup Finals since I was alive. And so the game took place, and that two-goal lead came right at the end of the first period. The second goal came with, like, 6 seconds left in the first period. And we, the group of us who were watching at my apartment in New York, we had been at Game 1 together in Boston. We traveled up to Boston. We paid hundreds of dollars to go, you know, like 4 hours in a car to go watch Game 1. And in Game 1, they were up 2-0, the Blues. So, like you said, we were all very aware that 2-0 was not safe, was not a safe lead. So we were, I would say we were quietly confident, but that Game 1 was in the back of our minds, because it's a lead that's not, doesn't give you full confidence, because if Boston scores one goal, they're only one behind and they have all the momentum. So it's a really, like you said, it's a shaky lead to have. But trust me, we would have rather been up 2-0 than down 2-0. So to answer your question very short, we were excited but also still hesitant, because we had experienced that 2-goal lead a week and a half before and lost the game.
I'm Dan Friedel. I'm filling in for Sonny Young on the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We're talking with Ari Yolcutt, a television producer in New York City and lifelong St. Louis sports fan who is basking in the glory of seeing his hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, having won the championship of the National Hockey League on Wednesday night in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final Series in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, Ari, what does the victory in ice hockey mean for the city of St. Louis? We've talked a little bit about St. Louis and the fact, for example, that in the recent Super Bowl, the team that lost to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl was the team that used to be in St. Louis. So currently St. Louis doesn't have a football team. They have this venerable, historic baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals, that has been pretty consistently competitive over the years. The Blues, as you mentioned, last time they were in the final series of the NHL was over 40 years ago. What does this victory mean for the city of St. Louis, in your opinion?
It means a lot. I talked to some friends and saw some social media postings, and since the last big moment in St. Louis sports was truly the Rams leaving town. And so when you as a sports fan have your most memorable moment being such a negative, such a negative thing, the next hugely positive thing is going to be immensely important. And the whole city is still, 3 years later, reeling from the loss of this football team. And so twofold, it's huge. Number one, it's huge because it gives them such a positive thing to latch on to. It's the fact that it's this team that has been there for such a long time allows it to be like a true hometown championship. And number two, the intensity that the city has, the love the city has for these last two remaining teams is so strong that it's a very concentrated fandom, and because these are the only two teams left in the city. So I think whatever remains of the disdain for the Rams and their owner, a guy named Stan Kroenke, kind of disappears and turns into happiness for this Blues championship. And it is ironic, I saw a couple posts like this, it is ironic that the guy who owned the Rams and kind of really burnt the city was a hometown guy, was a guy who was from St. Louis or from Missouri, and his name is Stan Kroenke. And the championship that they've been waiting forever for is the Stanley Cup. So I saw a bunch of things last night, like was to goodbye to the old Stan, the owner of the Rams, and hello to our new Stan, the Stanley Cup. So it kind of had a little hint of irony to it that the name of the trophy for the hockey championship was Stan or Stanley, to truly come full circle and give the city this pure joy and excitement.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny Young. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking about the culmination of the National Hockey League season, which came Wednesday night with the St. Louis Blues defeating the Boston Bruins 4-1 in Game 7 in Boston. And Ari, I thought it was interesting that now we have two seasons in a row that the champion of this major sports league has been a first-time winner. Last year, everybody in Voice of America's home city of Washington was going crazy this time of the year when the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup, and now you have the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup. What do you think that says about the sport of hockey and the chances the teams have to rise up different teams year after year? For example, nobody, if you thought about it in the middle of January, really gave the Blues a chance this year.
Yeah. It shows a couple things. It shows, I think, that there's anybody can win. The tournament is so, the tournament being the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs are so long and drawn out that any team that gets hot between April and June when the playoffs take place can kind of turn their season around. And the Blues literally turned it around as they were the last place team in the NHL in January. That's kind of what makes this story as great as it is they were the last place team, not the second to last place team, the last place team tied in the standings. And, in sports this happens, is the teams just something clicks. And with them, it was a coaching change and some player changes. And they go on a run and end up winning the title. And I, you know, like the Capitals, like Washington won last year, it shows that anybody can win, you know, year in, year out. You know, in the NFL, you have the Patriots always there. You always have some kind of form of, you know, the Eagles or the Saints or the Falcons. And there's a little bit of a rotation there. But going into the season, it's very rare that you have, you know, a random two-team Super Bowl that comes to fruition. The other great thing about that, in my mind, is you always want to have, you know, it gets boring. I'm not saying this as a non-fan of the city of Boston, but it gets boring when it's year in and year out the same team in the championship game. When any team can win, it's like every fan base can start out the season being like, you know, you never know. It could be this year, it could be us. And actually, truthfully, this year it would be great in the NBA if, and I love the Golden State Warriors, but if in the NBA the Toronto wins, you're going to have two teams that nobody at the beginning of the season would have thought in the NHL and the NBA, the Blues and the Raptors, that have a chance to win. And it's proof, because I think people, there's a group of people rooting for the Raptors just to be like, let's see somebody different win. That in sports, people kind of like the underdog and like change and like when the possibility of a champion is up in the air and you never know who it's going to be. So I think it's a very positive thing for both leagues, and you know, it's good for sports in general, that teams can kind of come back from nobody thinking that they have a chance to start the season, or come back from the fact that they played terrible during the season and were in last place and nobody thought they had a shot, and then they come back and win the Stanley Cup. So I think it's only a positive thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing about sports, is that sometimes the magical things happen. If you just want to look back in the world of soccer, a few years ago, you had Leicester City winning the Premier League kind of out of the blue. So it's fun to see that happen in sports, where the giants don't always win. You know, the dominant teams aren't always the champions. Of course, all of the fans in Boston will be able to console themselves with the 12 major sports trophies that they've won since 2002. So we'll wrap it up with that, Ari. I really appreciate you spending some time with us this spring and lending us your perspective on the Stanley Cup playoffs and some of these St. Louis sports stories. Congratulations to you and all the Blues fans out there.
It was literally my pleasure to do it, because it was for the reason that my St. Louis Blues, after my entire lifetime of 40-plus years, you know, brought home a championship. And I think the important word you used was magical. It felt like last night and this morning, it was a truly magical run and experience.
Have a great summer.
Thanks, Dan. You too.
We'll have more on the sunny side of sports after this VOA programming message.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical gem. I guarantee it.
I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now, as Ari mentioned, there's a lot of anticipation for the other major sports championship being played here in North America, and that's the NBA Finals. Game 6 is coming up Thursday night. It's another California sporting event on the menu. And as we mentioned on Wednesday's show, Game 6 will be the last ever game played at Oracle Arena. And the Warriors are hoping to extend their season and give their fans a farewell celebration worthy of a building that's seen the team win multiple championships in recent years. The Warriors will be moving across the San Francisco Bay for the 2019-2020 season. Now, of course, the Raptors, led by Kawhi Leonard and Cameroon's Pascal Siakam, directed by Nigerian Masai Ujiri, they don't want to go back to Jurassic Park in Toronto if they can help it. They'd rather win their first ever NBA title for a Canadian team in Oakland. Now, history is on Toronto's side, regardless of the outcome on Thursday. Of the 34 teams to have led a finals series 3-1, 33 of them have won the series. The only time before came in 2016, when the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Warriors. It's the lone blemish on the Golden State dynasty so far, and we'll have the results for you on Friday's show. That wraps up the June 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer Justin Thwaites. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, happily filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Steve Miller will be here Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. That's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, thousands of men, women, and children are forced to flee to escape violence and persecution. June 20th marks World Refugee Day. Global refugee awareness on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers who have been reviewing observation data from the Kepler spacecraft have occasionally been treated to pyrotechnic displays they call superflares. These superflares are incredibly powerful bursts of high-energy radiation that are being blasted from relatively young and active stars. Scientists say superflares are hundreds to thousands of times more powerful than the largest recorded flares from our own sun. A team of astronomers say they have found evidence that suggests stars as old as our 4.6 billion year old sun can produce superflares once every few thousand years. They said if the sun should produce a superflare, Earth would be bathed in a blast of high energy radiation. This could disrupt various electronic devices around the world, cause widespread power blackouts, and take orbiting communication satellites out of commission. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Thanks for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. We're honoring Avicii, one of EDM's greatest producers, who tragically passed away last year, with a month-long giveaway of his new album, Tim. The album includes vocals from many prominent artists, including Chris Martin and more. Tune in at 1500 Universal every weekday in June for your chance to win a free copy of Tim. Anyone who makes a request has a chance to win.
Border Crossings!
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.